And turn to the Bible, in your Bible, to the book of James. Now, as you're turning there, I want to ask a question that I often do here in the church, and it's a very easy question. I hope it is, anyway. Do you believe the Bible is the written Word of God?
Amen.
Do you believe it is true?
Amen.
Do you believe it is the truth?
Yes.
Every word of it?
Yes.
Okay, now, are you sure?
Yes.
Positive?
Yes.
Do you believe that God can do what He says He'll do? Okay, well, with that said, I hope you really get what I'm going to be preaching this morning. Now, last week I preached on, is your garden growing? And this past week I worked on and finished the second part of that message, and here it is right here. Is your garden growing, part two? And the past couple of days, God has told me to set this message aside and preach a different message. And the message I have to preach this morning, these are my notes. I have no notes. Now, some of y'all are saying, praise God, we're going to get out of here early today. Maybe so, Mark. I don't know. We'll see. Now, I have to ask again, do you really believe that the Word of God is true?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, you've got to pay attention to this, because if you believe it's true, then what I'm getting ready to preach is true. Now, Alex, I'm sorry, this is what you heard me preach yesterday. But God told me to preach it, so I have to preach it. Turn with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 13. Excuse me, verse 13. James 5, 13. And James writes this. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call the elders of the church, and they should pray over him after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you will be healed. Now, if you don't already have it underlined, underline the latter part of verse 16. The intense prayer of the righteous is very powerful. Now, listen to me, church. You just admitted to me, and you just raised your hand, and you just testified to one another and to God that the Word of God is the Word of God. It is true. If God has it in the Word of God, He meant for us to understand it. And Brother Ricky, it's the truth. We can lay our claim. We can lay our foundation. We can stake everything, Brother Keith. It is the truth when we read it as the Word of God. Amen? So what James just recorded here, we can go ahead, Brother John, and say, it's the truth. Amen? Do we act like this is the truth? Brother Gary, do we understand what we just read? Let's read verse 16 again, because I want y'all to get this. Verse 16 says this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. How many of y'all have been sick or hurting and said, you know, I don't want to be healed? I've never gone to somewhere, to somebody who is broken or bruised or in pain and said, preacher, you know, I don't want to be healed. I enjoy this pain. I enjoy this suffering. No. They've all said, I want to feel better. I want to be able to do what I've always done. I want to be healed. Pray. Well, that just seems too easy, doesn't it, Bill? Pray for one another. But the last part is what we're really going to focus on this morning. The last part of verse 16 says this, the intense prayer of the righteous. The intense prayer. That means you are praying. You are praying hard. You are praying fervently, what the King James Version says. You are intensely praying. The intense prayer of the righteous is very powerful. Sure you believe this? Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the promises that you've given us. God, what is wrong with us that we can read the Bible and not claim these promises? And we function the way we function. I don't get it, Lord. Father, I pray that you would be with us right now and you'd help us to see ourselves this morning as this message is preached. I pray that you'll hide me, God, and you'll be seen. Not because of who I am, God, but because of who you are. We love you, Lord. Help us not to walk out these doors the same way we walked in them. Help us to be changed, not by the messenger, God, but by your word. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. As I was a child, I grew up in an environment, and I've told you, I've never tried to hide anything from you. I grew up in a godless environment. My parents loved me, and they did everything they possibly could for me. They gave me more than I deserved, and they enabled me to be anything worldly that I wanted to be. They pushed me towards it. I had things and did things and experienced things that the lost world would applaud, but I deplore. I love my parents, and I believe my parents loved me, but God was not in the equation whatsoever at all. And as I grew up, God to me was like the Easter Bunny. Jesus to me was just as important as Santa Claus. I didn't know that it was any different. Tooth Fairy. I mean, put them all in the same basket. And, you know, you pick. One's going to help you more as much as the other. I didn't understand the whole idea about God. There were two or three families in our neighborhood that went to church, and the biggest thing that I got from it was this. Well, you know, while everybody else was outside playing on Sunday, they didn't get to. We had odd or uneven teams until Brian got to get out of church. You know, we had to wait for him to get to church. And really, he didn't get to play long because he had to go back to church. And you know what we thought? Those people are crazy. I mean, you only have 2 days on the weekend, and you're going to ruin one going to church? Now, that's the mentality of some church people, isn't it? I can't come every week. You want me to get every Sunday, sacrifice every Sunday? Well, listen, I didn't understand this whole thing with the people in my neighborhood. But can I tell you, as I grew up, and again, my parents, you know, tried to give me everything worldly that I could ever possess, there was something inside of me. I knew something was missing. Even in a godless world that I was living, I knew something was missing. I had everything that I could possibly want. I had a car. I had a pantry full of food. We lived on Lake Wiley. We had a bass boat and a ski boat. Hey, that's enough. Really, we lived 3 hours from the mountains, and when it snowed or in the wintertime, we went to the mountains. We had everything we possibly could want. Really. But Bob, I felt like I was missing something. As a matter of fact, I didn't feel it. I knew that I was missing something. Something was missing from my life, and I couldn't for the life of me figure out it was. But can I tell you, every time I would go and visit my grandmother Waddell, something amazing would happen. We would go, and I mean, I wouldn't act any different. I wouldn't be any different. I mean, I was the same old Kyle. I was a liar, a cheat, a thief. Matter of fact, my cousins, they didn't even want to take me to the store across the street because they were afraid I was going to steal and they were going to get in trouble and they were going to go to jail with me. But my grandmother would tell me, she'd say, "Baby, I love you." And I knew, everybody knows their grandmother loves them, right? But then she'd say this, "I'm praying for you." I don't know what that means. I don't have a clue what that means. No idea. But she did. Miss Edie, she understood what it meant. I didn't. She did. So as I'm going through my youth, she is seeing me just live an unbelievable, ungodly, worldly life, walking in the flesh, and yet she's still telling me, baby, I'm praying for you. Now what, listen, let me ask you a question. What do we normally do as Christians, self-righteous Christians, when we see people in our lives who are walking away from God, living godless lives, doing what we know they shouldn't be doing, hanging around people we know they shouldn't be hanging around? What is our attitude towards those people? Golly, that is, they're filth. Why in the world do they choose to do what they're doing? Do you know what our mindset should be? Hey, I love you, and I'm praying for you. You know what? I've told people that in times past. You know, my uncle that just passed away, you know what he told me? Don't pray for me. Don't pray for me. You know, there's a lot of things people can make me not do. There are. People can make me not do all kinds of things. But you can't make me not pray for you. You can't. You absolutely cannot make me not pray for you. And as I was growing up, Miss Desi, something was happening in my life, and I couldn't explain it. The things that used to satisfy me, Dan, they weren't satisfying me anymore. Whatsoever at all. And I was looking to feel that satisfaction somehow, some way. And everything that I did from a worldly perspective never, listen, Griffin, it never satisfied that longing that was in my heart. And I didn't know why that longing was in my heart, but Grandma knew. She knew. And she wasn't saying. You know what she was doing? She was praying. She kept praying. And she kept praying. And she kept praying. And when things got worse, she kept praying. And when she heard that I got suspended from school, she kept praying. And when she found out that I almost got myself in trouble with the law and I about got put in jail, hey, listen, she kept praying. She didn't quit praying. She didn't thumb her nose. She didn't put me down. She didn't throw me to the side. She kept praying. She didn't stop because she understood this. I don't even know, Gary, that she even saw the transformation that was taking place in my life, and she understood that God was working on me. She probably did, but she never told me. The only thing she ever told me was, I love you, and I'm praying for you. That's all I heard. As I got older, God revealed himself to me through my wife. And I accepted him as my personal Savior. And I called my grandmother, and she praised God with me. Now listen, why me? What was so special about me? You look at this lost world. You look at the people that you encounter on a daily basis who live in a godless world, who could care less about God, who right now at 10 minutes to 12, they're going to the store to get their drink on later on. They live in a godless world, and they're satisfied. Why did God pull me out and they're still out there? Why don't they know? Why didn't God choose them? I was bad. Hey, listen, a lot of people that I talk to who are lost, they'll tell you, I'm a good person, and I believe they were probably better than me. Why did God choose me and not them? What happened? What was the equation? What was the difference? The intense prayer of the righteous is very powerful. The prayers of my grandmother, as I walked through this world, hovered over me. They're powerful. Brother Kyle, you're crazy. Where in the world are you coming up with this? I'm coming up with the Bible. As I walked in the world, those prayers followed me. As I went youth places that I shouldn't have gone and did things that I shouldn't have done and drank things that I shouldn't have drunk and hung out with people that I had no business hanging out with, those prayers of my grandmother that were powerful were hanging over me. Did I deserve it? Absolutely not. But they were hanging over me. And when I came to the lowest point in my life, where I was getting ready to take my life, God said, no, don't do that. I'm going to show you something. And He revealed Himself to me. Why me? Because of the powerful prayers of a righteous person. I didn't deserve it. Still don't deserve it. Listen, you know that old song, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus and Nazarene? That's me. I don't know why in the world He would choose. Listen, I wouldn't have chosen me. I wouldn't have. But He did. Now let's switch gears here for a second. I came to my senses at 18 years old. 18, 19 years old. Really 19 is when I accepted Christ. Some of y'all say, well, I didn't accept Christ when I was 19. You did better than me. Let's switch gears to my uncle. I loved my uncle. When I was a child, I just like many of you, I idolized my uncles. I did. I was the only Waddell boy to carry on the name in my family. The only one. And they loved me, and they used to hold me in high esteem, and I thank God that I've passed that baton on to my boys. It's not my burden anymore, it's theirs. Amen? Alex, we don't have to start anytime soon, though, right? You know. They idolized me, and I idolized them. We'd go places, and they'd say, yeah, this is my nephew, Kyle. He is the only Waddell boy to carry on the name. But I'm going to tell you something. They didn't reinforce any Christian or moralistic values whatsoever at all. At all. I was 15, 16 years old, and one of my uncles, I mean, he would slip me bottles of liquor, you know, the pint size. 15, 16 years old. I don't know what y'all call that, but that's crazy. It really is. Well, that was part of being a Waddell boy because my grandfather made moonshine. Why did God choose me? I don't get it. But I idolized these men, and I wanted to be like them. I watched them. My uncle that just passed away, I want you to know, I loved him. I did. And I respected him because he was my elder. And you should respect your elders, youth. That's something y'all's generation is losing, is respect. Y'all want respect? Listen, learn to give respect. If you want to be respected, respect other people. I respected my uncle, but I'm going to be honest with you. And I love my uncle, but I'm going to be honest with you here. I couldn't stand him. I couldn't stand him. He was just as far opposite as I am who I am today. He was one of the biggest kowtow red state liberals you ever met in your life. He was for abortion. He was for homosexuality. He was for taking God out of government and for the school. He was against God. And he would tell you in his faith that he was an atheist. And I don't know what it was or why he did what he did, Bob, but this is what he would do. Anytime I was around my uncle, and especially around Thanksgiving, he would cuss because he knew I was in the room. I knew he did it. And I'm not talking about, you know, saying the D word or the S word or you know, he'd give the big word. You know, he'd cuss God. And I'd say, Uncle, come on. And he'd just go into, he'd go into a rant. And Ricky, he'd always do something. He'd always talk about something political and throw God to the side and throw God under the bus just because I was in the room and I couldn't stand that. And as I tried, Steve. I tried, Bill. Gary, y'all know how I am. I mean, I tried not to say anything. But sooner or later, I'm going to stand up for God. Amen? And I would say something, and he'd always come back. There was something in me at times. I wanted to look at my uncle and say, listen, when you're in hell, you'll have the same mindset that I do. But I couldn't. One day years ago, I looked at him, though, and I said, Uncle Jiggs, I love you. You know I do. I said, but I want to ask you a question. I said, let's say that you're right and there is no God and I'm wrong. I've lost nothing. I've lost nothing. I've lived a good life. But Uncle Jiggy, listen to me. If I'm right and you're wrong, you've lost it all. You are going to burn eternally in the flames of hell because of a decision that you won't make for Christ. And for the first time, he looked at me and he said, Kyle, I've never thought of it like that before. Never. He lived for some years later and still just a godless, thankless, putrid life, spewing hate and detest towards God, and almost took revel in the fact of telling people, Tony, I'm an atheist. Enjoyed it. But just like me, something happened. Something happened. About 3 weeks ago, he was given a death sentence. Doctors came in and he had pulmonary issues and cardiac issues, and cancer was all in his lymph nodes, and he was scared to death to die. Wonder why? He was scared to die. You know what was hanging over him? You know what was hanging over top of him? The same thing that was hanging over me as a 16, 17, 18-year-old boy. The fervent, powerful prayers of a righteous saint of God were totally covering him. And she'd been dead for almost 10 years. The prayers of my grandmother covered him. And he laid there with that death sentence on him. Mr. Waddell, you have maybe 2 to 3 months to live. Maybe. The fervent prayers of that saint of God still covered him. And he sat there in the hospital. Why him? Miss Susan, why him? He lived a godless life. Thumbed his nose his whole life at God. Why in the world him? Those prayers. He was so scared to die that he started talking to my uncles and started talking to some preachers who came to visit him. And one preacher, I'm not sure what his name was, finally broke through. And he said, listen, I want to talk to some man that he had known who had just gotten saved about 3 months earlier. And he called for that man, and that man came. And he said, what happened? What changed? I know who you were. You were just like me. What happened? What changed? And he says, Jiggs, the only thing I can tell you is that Jesus changed my life. He changed my life. You know I'm not the same person anymore. I'm different. I'm changed. And he called out right then and there in that day, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Just like the Scripture says, the laborers in the vineyard, he was at the very, very last second. As a matter of fact, me as his nephew, I thought that Proverbs 29:1 was going to take him. What is Proverbs 29:1? Those who are often rebuked will be swiftly taken and swiftly removed. In other words, if you've heard the gospel time and time and time and time and time and time and time again, and you refuse to come to God, Scripture says that you will be taken instantaneously. You will not have a chance to accept Christ. You will die in your sins and go straight to hell. That's what Proverbs 29:1 says. And that's the verdict that I thought that my uncle was facing. As a matter of fact, I hope that my dad's not facing it. You know the only thing that gives me hope with my dad? With my dad, the man who raised me. The only hope that I have with my dad is the only hope that I had with me that I can now see. The only hope that I saw with my Uncle Jiggs. Listen, my Uncle Jiggs, as you put him on the scale, my dad is better than Uncle Jiggs ever was. He's a better man. But he doesn't have Jesus. The only hope that my dad has is the only hope that my Uncle Jiggs and I have, and that's the fervent prayer of a righteous saint of God. It's covering my dad the way it was covering me and the way it was covering my Uncle Jiggs. Those dear woman's prayers are still having an effect on the lost world. We don't understand prayer, do we? What does this mean for us today? Anybody in here have lost family members? Lost loved ones? Lost neighbors? Have you given up on them? Have you said, you know, there's just no use, there's no hope? What can I do? You can pray. I hope that you've seen today, listen, the power of effectual prayer, the power of intense prayer. Listen, you might die today and your family might live 20 years from now, and that prayer is still covering them. Do you pray with that intensity? Do you understand what this means? Listen to me. Hey, listen, Alex, you might go to college this coming year, and you might walk away from God. Don't say, Dad, I'm not going to do that. All you have to do is listen. Look at the statistics. Even preachers' kids, when they graduate high school, they get off away from school and they get away from God. Do I like that? No. What can I do? Can I beat them back to church? Can I drag them by their hair back to church? Can I make them get on their knees? And no. Listen, we as parents, we feel so useless at times, don't we? What in the world can we do? Pray. It's not working. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it ain't working. Just because you can't see something, and this is all us. We want immediate. We want immediate answers to our prayers. God doesn't work that way. He works in a different way. What this means, church, is this. My children can get as far away from God as they can or they want to, but my prayers are still more powerful than anything they can get into. God is still going to reach out to them in their time of need. Why? Because of the fervent prayers of a righteous saint of God. A righteous saint of God. That person who has belittled you, that person who has ostracized you, that person who has been mean to you, you know what Scripture says you need to do? Pray for them. I don't want to pray for them. I know you don't. Pray for them anyway. That's the only way they're going to be changed. You can't change them. I can't change them. Jesus can change them. I've given you two illustrations of two dirty, filthy, immoral lives that God changed because somebody prayed for us. Now, let me ask you something. Two things, and I'm done. Who prayed for you? Who was it that prayed for you? Who was it? I've told y'all in times past, and Miss Lisa's heard me sing this before, but I'm going to tell you, one of my favorite songs that I sing in my head sometimes when I get down is, somebody prayed for me. They sacrificed their time. They got down on their knees and prayed for me. Hey, listen, they had no doubt that God could bring me out, that He could change my life and set me free. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. Who prayed for you? You didn't just come to the decision to accept Christ just because, okay, well, it's time. No, listen, somebody prayed for your rotten self to get right with God, and you did. Who prayed for you? Who are you praying for? It's the second question. Who are you praying for? Do you know how powerful it is when you pray for somebody? Do you get it? Mr. Holman, when you pray, we all pray like this, Susan. Lord Jesus. And at that very moment, do you understand something here? At that very moment, when you call out on the name of Jesus, you are in the presence of Jesus Christ. the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Listen, the great I Am, the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the one who is in yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You are in His presence when you say, Lord Jesus. When you call on His name. Listen, that's why the Scripture tells us in the Ten Commandments, listen, do not take the Lord's God name in vain. Don't waste His time calling on His name unless you want to talk to Him or you need Him. You're in His presence. That's how powerful it is. Do we really understand it? Who prayed for you? Hey, listen, you ought to burn the phone lines down today because you know somebody was praying for you. Three women prayed for me that I know of in my condition that I was in. My grandmother Waddell, my Aunt Iris, and my Aunt Joy. Why let them die without thanking them for those prayers? Giving them acknowledgement for who you are and what God's brought you through. Hey, get on the phone. Thank them. Thank them for the prayers. Share that Scripture with them. Say, listen, your prayers work. Keep praying. Pray. Listen, pray. I want you to pray for the one that I've been praying for. Why? Because you know their prayers are working. I'm telling you, listen, if tomorrow I found out that I've got cancer, I'm calling Shirley Garth and Betty Carter in Kentucky. You know why? I know God hears their prayers. Thank the ones who prayed for you. And don't give up on the ones you're praying for. Keep praying. Keep praying. Long after you're gone. Listen, those prayers are going to cover them. Long after you're gone. Why, Brother Kyle? Because the prayers of a righteous saint of God, Scripture says, are powerful. Do you believe that? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, I believe Your word is true.